Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. And today is June the 22nd, 2021. It's actually the day before the Olympics start officially in Tokyo, since they were postponed last year due to the pandemic. So I guess they're officially calling them the 2020 Olympics, even though it's 2021. So, yeah, I just thought it would be good to talk about that, what's happening there, and how you can work with high-level athletes at all levels, Olympians or any high-level athletes that are in high school or college or professional athletes. And it's not as necessary with your practice to do that, but it's just something to think about that can maybe help your credibility and add to your credibility, that sort of thing. So the Olympics are in Tokyo, of course, starting tomorrow. So I just wanted to talk about, the value of working with Olympians and elite athletes for your coaching practice. And actually the Winter Olympics are coming up not that far away. I think just this coming January or so, 2022. So that's something to think about. It may be, these Olympics are already underway, but there's more Olympics coming very soon, so that's another opportunity to connect with people. So, and I wanted to talk about, case studies, inside stories, my work with Olympians, and how you could do the same, or with any high-level athletes. I've worked with Olympics on site and at the Olympics for seven Olympics, actually. Some on site at the Olympic Games, and some remotely. I was at the Olympic Games in Athens, Greece, in 2004, and then at Vancouver Winter Olympics in 2010, and I was on site there, and then on site at the Winter Summer Olympics in London, 2012. And so, I've got different examples to share with you and case studies from there. And then the Olympics this year, how athletes are doing mentally, for the biggest event of their lives. Of course, we're dealing with a pandemic, which makes it totally different this time around, with no little or no spectators allowed. So it's very different. And but athletes are having to cope with lots of different conditions, our work can be the same regardless of what the athletes are going through. We can always contribute, and I think there's even more need for what the work we do now as sports psychology coaches. So talk about how you can attract high-level athletes and Olympians to work with. And as I mentioned, Winter Olympics 2022 are coming, so you can plan ahead how you could be a part of that upcoming Olympics, either working with athletes or just doing commentary, through your blog or through social media is an important way also. And then just talk about mistakes to avoid, do's and don'ts, working with top athletes, and what's different. A lot of things are the same, emotions, the human aspect is the same working with high-level athletes, Olympians, as any other athletes. But, of course, there's some things that are different. The pressures are greater there. And so I talk about what issues the Olympians are now facing in this pandemic era of COVID-19, and then specific areas that you can work on with Olympic hopefuls, maybe for the next Olympics that are actually very soon coming up, the Winter Olympics. And, where are our performing edge coach, where you as a performing edge coach are most needed, and how you can get valuable testimonials from Olympians, once you've worked with someone to help with your credibility. So, yeah, we can talk about those things. And I want to welcome you, Dave, and other people that are in the background traveling, so on mute. Welcome everyone here. I know John, is in Omaha, Nebraska. I think they just had the Olympic trials there for swimming recently, so that's interesting. And Anaël in France is going through with a lockdown there and a surge in the epidemic, the pandemic. It's I know been difficult there for athletes. And then June in Texas. I just wanted to welcome everyone here. And Dave, how are you doing? Since you're live here, do you want to just report in? You're working with a javelin player, is that right?
Javelin thrower and sprinter. And I've also got one baseball player. He's a young guy. He's 12 now. So, but he's a championship kid. He's really smoking it right now. So it's kind of a little mixture.
Yeah. What kinds of issues are you working with mental training?
So lots of anxiety. Lots of how to manage frustration, anger, just what are emotions, especially for my younger guys, kind of emotional regulation training. I really opened the door for them to talk about it because there's a lot of external parental pressure. So we talk a little bit about inner critic and kind of what messaging they're giving to themselves out on the field, what automatic thoughts might come right away, that kind of thing. And it's so funny when we start talking about this stuff, they're like, gosh, I didn't realize I was doing this to myself. It's like, yeah, it's the difference between being in the hole and knowing that you're in the hole and finding a way out. And I just kind of opened the door differently.
Yeah, right. Great. So being in the hole and knowing you're in the hole. Okay. Teaching athletes to be aware of their emotions and to be aware early on and ask for help is really key. So it's good that you're there to support them. So as athletes, think of any questions that you might have too, all of you. So. For the Olympics here, as athletes finalize their preparations, it's coming right up starting tomorrow in Tokyo. The mental training part is really important in providing that mental edge. And with everything that's going on there, you can be thinking about what you could be doing lessons we can learn from the Olympics, from the Olympians, to transfer to our own athletes here. Because I think an important part, we are the behind-the-scenes team kind of thing, preparing athletes with these mental skills. And I think the mental skills might prove to be as valuable or more valuable than their physical skills in achieving their personal best when most athletes are far away from home. And really the Olympics, I think, exposes lots of any weakness in your mental game, because there's certain aspects of the Olympics that athletes never see during other competitions. You've got this tiny space of time to perform, when many athletes have been training for years for this, and they were training for years to get up to the 2020 Olympics. And then the unique thing about this is all of a sudden they had to put everything on hold for a year, and even not knowing if the Olympics were going to be going on this year. So there was a lot of uncertainty there to add to what they're doing. And so, preparing for each Olympic Games, it's really customized for that particular Olympic Games of planning and active mental challenge to prepare for Olympic pressure and trust in that their plan. And so sports psychologists, are, as coaches, we can help those athletes to manage all that's going on in the months and the years leading up to the games. And know, things like helping athletes deal with things that have to be dealt with immediately, like in when I was in Athens in Greece, I was working with a pole vaulter there, and she was expected to win, and yet she was developing an injury at the time, and so it was really difficult to be able to train when this injury was going on. And so we did a lot of work around that, and being able to, I would go to with her to the Olympic training center there in Athens and watch her train with her coach there, and then right afterward we would sit down and kind of have a debriefing session about how the training session went, and do some healing imagery around helping her injury, because the time you don't want to be having an injury is, you know, right before the Olympics, of course. And so we talk about that, and the press conferences, there's a lot of pressure. You know, we're hearing about, like, Naomi Osaka, you know, withdrawing from France, from the French Open tournament because of, to protect her mental health. And you'd think, oh, a press conference, that's not a big deal. What's the issue there? I mean, but actually, you know, those press conferences can be really, they've gotten to be almost like a courtroom where, you know, all the reporters are looking to try to catch you messing up on something, or catch you, make you so upset that you start crying, or bring out the worst in the athletes, bring out your mistakes, and bring up something in the past, and one athlete, she had just learned, one of the reporters said, did you know your mother just passed away? Oh my gosh. And she learned that through a reporter there before she got to know, you know, and that of course was really upsetting. So those kind of things are good to help athletes to manage. So like at the Olympics, for instance, I did that with several of my athletes, just help them to anticipate what questions are going to be asked at a press conference or by reporters in general, and then be able to, you know, kind of do a role play. And I would ask the questions and then have them practice answering them, and see what the best answer would be, and realize you don't have to go into a lot of detail. Sometimes you can just, or you can pass on a question and say, your next question, to allow the athlete to be in control of the questions in the press conference rather than the reporters. So that's one thing. There's things that they're dealing with in the performance arena and then off the performance arena. And could be distractions of life issues outside the sport. Like, as I mentioned, like a family member may have just gotten COVID-19 or is, you know, in serious trouble. Those kinds of things are going on right now. And so dealing with those sort of things, you could be that one person that could really be close enough to that athlete to be able to handle all the personal emotions that they are feeling. So there's lots of things that you can do to help. There's another issue to deal with is handling the pressure of being the favorite when everyone's expecting that athlete to do really well. And maybe they're not, you know, they did well 4 years ago, but they're not that same athlete or not quite that same level. Or there's lots of younger athletes coming up now. So dealing with, they've got expectations from the outside of being the favorite, being expected to win, and yet they feel like maybe they can't perform to others' expectations because they're a different person now. So, I think, you know, one way to look at it is sports helps. Sports helps us, gives athletes a lot to help them prepare. You know, it offers a protective thing. It helps us feel good, gives us endorphins, gives us all kinds of strengths because we're dealing with sports, but there's also risk factors into those sports as well, although the pressures that are there. In fact, the USOC Olympic Committee, piloted its first its assessment program with USA Swimming and noted that about 60% of athletes were being flagged for mental health concerns running up to right before the Olympic trials. 60% of the athletes talked about having mental health concerns. And the top issues were related to anxiety, of course, around the pandemic, and then lack of sleep and difficulties with nutrition, and with just loneliness, not having anyone to talk to with all the isolation. So all that is going on with, you know, just as an example, with one sport with swimmers. So, we just wanted to give a few examples of things. Just check in also to see if anyone has questions or thoughts about what we're talking about so far, what you've observed, you know, with listening to the coverage about the Olympics, and what are your thoughts about what's going on over there. Dave, if you're there, you can feel free to comment.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I would just, you know, from what I've seen, just not having spectators, not having people so easily accessible, I think would cause some frustration, anxiety, because there's so much buildup to this as an event for people, for athletes. So I just think that would be really challenging. And so just being resolute and focused on your game and mindful of, like, this is just a different time. It's a I don't think there'll be another Olympics like this. Where it's just, you know what I mean? It's just, but I think the athletes could probably lean on each other more than they realize. Maybe that will occur. Just that the team will get that much tighter because it's just going to be them and a few coaches. So.
Yeah. In some ways, the lack of spectators, it depends on what kind of personality you have, what kind of sport you're in. Some sports are really used to having a lot of spectators. And if you're an athlete that really thrives on the spectators and does better, then it would be harder because it's a big change. But then there's our imagination. You know, you can always imagine that there's spectators there. Imagine your best supporters are there, and of course it's not the same as actually having them there, but you can, the next best thing is to imagine them cheering for you and saying good things to you. And then there's other people who get really nervous with all the cheering, or sometimes worried about booing from opposing spectators. So in that case, they might benefit from not having the spectators there. And it's probably waving a sigh of relief. Thank God I don't have to have all these people watching me or hearing. Of course, they're watching on TV, but not right there. So it could benefit some people if they're shy and don't like all that attention.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It'll be something totally different. It's just a miracle, amazing that it's even being pulled off in the middle of this pandemic when Tokyo is surging with cases of COVID-19. But it's a wonderful thing that they're able to actually get everybody over there. The frustrating thing, I think, too, is the most of what we hear on the news are if some tragedy happens. You know, we haven't been hearing about any victory stories or, you know, haven't been any many good stories of who the favorites are, except for Simone Biles, maybe, but who, you know, the athletes are and how their training's going and what their expectations are, all of that. We want to hear, you know, those wonderful athlete stories, but instead we're hearing if someone gets kicked off, you know, for using, you know, Shaqiri for using marijuana, or we hear about the transgender issue all the controversy about that, male to female transgenders, and how that's we're not sure how that's going to be accepted, hearing about drug issues and, you know, that kind of stuff, and which is frustrating because we want to be able to hear about like the good work that sports psychologists, sports psychology coaches like us are doing. So that's where you could, you know, in this or future Olympics, you could go on your blog or your social media and just talk about your thoughts about that and what athletes need, and do your own commentary. Even if you're not working with Olympic athletes right now, you could just be able to talk about what is being, what the athletes need, and how the good work that we are doing as a whole. And how you, it tips, you know, the Olympic, how you can help people to learn from the Olympics. Like, one athlete said, I've had to change my whole circuit, my whole training of just how to find appreciation in the imperfect. You know, that was a good quote, I think, from one of the athletes, that, you know, just find gratefulness in whatever, you know, even though things aren't perfect, just be grateful for what we do have. And one of my athletes talked about, said this quarantine process was the only time I've ever had in my life where I could actually go through that process of you know, thinking hard, deeply about these things. So thinking about what's good about the going through this process of this difficult time we're going through as a country and as a world. So here we are on the eve of the Tokyo Games, and it's clear just, you know, just arriving at the Tokyo Olympics is more of a mental challenge than a physical one. And, you know, as I said, with COVID-19 postponement last year, altered years of training plans, uncertain landscape. And then there's black, you know, think about the black athletes. They went through with the witnessing the murder of George Floyd and by Minneapolis police back in May 2020 last year. That sparked a worldwide reckoning with racism that's weighing heavily on black athletes and how they're treated and what they're thinking about. You know, there's just a lot of things that athletes are going through. And, you know, one of my athletes said, we don't, you know, back during the pandemic, we didn't even know when we were going to train, didn't know where the next camp would be, or Olympics training camp, didn't know when the Olympics qualifiers were going to happen. All that unknown, that uncertainty was really hard, you know, for athletes because they didn't know what to do with themselves when they're used to training all that time and didn't have a focus or a plan, which athletes really need. And one athlete that I worked with had you know, obsessive compulsive disorder, and she said that's when I don't have a focus or a plan, that's when my OCD takes over and it's more difficult to control. So it's that dealing with how do you deal with uncertainty, or how do you make, you know, add certainty, whatever certainty you can have or control over a situation. For instance, you know, helping athletes during the pandemic, you know, work out at home or work out alone or do workouts that they can do was really important. And, you know, some athletes decided to even take a break after the world was locked down from COVID-19. They just took a break from their training and started doing something different for a little while. And so, but now the good news is I think Olympic athletes now have more options than ever before when it comes to mental health support, especially those with the biggest sports federations in the Olympics, and addressing their needs. So, for instance, the Australian Institute of Sport and And they're Tokyo's contingent there. Their athletes have access to on-the-ground sports psychology services during the games. So they brought them over, and so they have emergency support structures in place there for athletes. So that's good news. And if you are, you know, for instance, if you are working with an Olympic athlete, you could offer, I've worked with several Olympics remotely with athletes, and I'd be talking with them, by phone or by Zoom or by text, and you can offer emergency support services yourself to athletes with just them saying, look, if you have something going on, you need to call me anytime, or, you know, during the Olympics or beforehand, be able to make yourself available that way so that you can offer that emergency support, and you can make the difference. I know in the London Olympics, I was working with a 1500 meter runner, and she said, just called and said, I'm really nervous right now, and it's right before the in the semifinals and then the finals, and we just talked about a couple of things that we had talked about in sessions. Like I said earlier in a session, I said, what animal would you like to be? Imagine an animal that has the characteristics that you want to have. And she said, a tiger. I want to be a tiger because they're fierce and are strong and hold their line. Because in the 1500 meters, she was worried that you get boxed in going around the track, and that you have to elbow your way through, and you could get really stuck in the middle and not be able to get out and pass people. So we talked about being a tiger and going on YouTube and, looking at the aspects of what is a tiger, imagine a tiger and how it's, when it looks, it's going for its prey, and that look in its eyes when it's going for food, and how there's absolutely nothing that's going to stop it from getting dinner. And we talked about that and how she could have that same kind of fierce fire inside and do whatever it takes to hold her ground on the track, no matter what. And so, I reminded her of that right there she's in the semifinals and going into the finals. And that was really calming to her. Just hearing my voice, she was used to hearing my voice, that was calming to be able to realize something familiar, that she can, and a familiar voice that she could talk to, and the familiar things that, tools that we had talked about that she can continue to use, even when other things are not so predictable or familiar. You never know what's going to happen out there on the track. You probably had that experience, Dave, with your track athletes, where they're, worried about. Have you worked with, 1,500 meter runners, or worried about kind of getting boxed in on the track, or worried about what's just going to happen on the track in general?
Yeah, the javelin thrower I have, she's actually she does the 400 and the 800, and just her running style is like she likes to get out in front, but a couple of times she was matched, and that was really difficult for her. I mean, it got kind of emotional for her too, just her response to it. So, yeah, it definitely happens.
Yeah. So, in these Olympics now, they're having, kind of getting, or I was gonna say, you can just be able to talk with them about, things that are familiar that you've worked on specifically. That helps so much, I think, with athletes. In this case, at the London Olympics, she was able to perform really well and just relax through the whole thing and get through, just getting through the start without, getting knocked down or falling down is a good thing. So, yeah, that's great work that you're doing with the javelins, sir, Dave. With these Olympics in Tokyo, they're saying they're getting baseline mental health information on all the athletes and every single sport that's going on. So they're taking, kind of screening people for mental health issues. So that's a good thing that they're actually in the U.S. Olympic and the Paralympic committees are saying that they are doing that. So going to extra measures to assess how athletes are doing mentally. Of course, a lot of athletes don't want to mention any mental health issues because they're worried about, saying perhaps they won't be able to compete, or it could hinder their performance, or they don't want that information getting out somewhere, and that's understandable. But they're having to juggle a lot of things that are out in front of them. And so I think it's important to realize that athletes there's protective factors for being in sport, and there's risk factors being in sports. The protective factors are things that can help our mental health, being stronger mentally and learning courage and confidence and focus, and all the endorphins that go on are protective factors. They help, of course, when we're working out, we can sleep better. But then there's all the risk factors of the unknowns, the pressures there, the travel pressures, the pandemic, worry about getting COVID-19. We're hearing about that each day. Whenever an athlete gets COVID-19, that's all we hear about is someone who's contracted that, because the media want to make this, a big, they want to emphasize the negative stuff. But it's up to us to help athletes with helping athletes stay positive. So I wanted to talk about my experience with how to work, how I've worked with Olympic athletes, and this applies to Olympians or professional athletes or top athletes as well. I think, and then how you can do this in the future as well with Olympics or with any top-level athletes, just knowing the landscape. First, I think Olympic athletes are very sought out. First, they're selective about who they let into their support team, and so it's good to respect that. But they're also very vulnerable, and they have the same human emotions as anyone else. And so one way to get to know athletes is to go to a sports event where you can get a media pass so that you can interview athletes there or talk with them beforehand and go to a press conference. And so I've done that. And then some athletes have asked me, I was doing my book then, the Your Performing Edge book, and so I interviewed them for that as well. And they would ask, could I work with you? And often I would offer complimentary services to athletes that are Olympic hopefuls, because I just want to help them and give back to the sport, and it helps those athletes to be able to perform better, and it helps, it can help, if you do this, it can help you be part of the Olympics and in that way and contribute. So you can, another way to get Olympic hopeful athletes is to ask sports doctors, professionals like chiropractors often they love to work with athletes, and my local chiropractor here who I went to, I asked, are you working with any top athletes? And he actually was working with a top swimmer and referred them to me and said they might need some help. So that was really... and then I got to work with her for a few years. So that's a really great way to get to know top athletes and to offer them help. So sports medicine doctors, physical therapists, coaches, anyone that works with athletes, just let them know that you are a sports psychology coach, and those of you who are certified as a performing edge coach, that certification can really help you and to find people there. And same thing with like the sporting goods stores, running stores. Sometimes they can let you put out your brochures or cards there. And then, of course, LinkedIn and different social media outlets. But you could just put a post on there saying that you're willing to work with Olympic hopeful athletes, you know, say a selective two or three athletes who are Olympic hopefuls for complimentary for a few sessions. You don't want to, you know, you want to make it personalized and limited so that you're not offering the whole world free services, but just say that you're offering a few select people that. And then that makes it easier to get to know top athletes. And just let them know everyone's physically ready, but not everyone is mentally ready. And sports psychology coaching could really make a difference for them. And I just realized that the athletes like this, Olympic athletes, have a lot of demands on their time. Often, depending on what sport it is, they have agents and they have managers, they have media interviews to do. They might have sponsors they need to satisfy with doing press conferences or different appearances, depending on how well-known they are. And there's race directors. And so a lot of athletes, at first you might be kind of a low priority on their list because they've got all these other people, coaches as well, they need to work with. But you can you start maybe as just getting to know them, and as your relationship builds, you probably become the top priority on their list of people that they want to talk to, because they can feel like they can trust you, and they can talk to you, let them know that it's confidential. You can talk with them about anything, and just life issues, and just what's going on in the sport, but also just managing all this stuff. It's kind of like you can help them be their own project manager of how to manage all the interviews and the sponsors, and how to make decisions about things. And sometimes it might be making a difficult decision of not going to an event like Naomi Osaka did with the French Open tournament because of it just got to be too much with mental health concerns. So, or sometimes you can mitigate disasters that help athletes to get through something really difficult. So, an example was with the Vancouver Olympics, the Winter Olympics. You know, I had worked with an athlete that was trying to qualify as an aerial skier, and as the ones that do the triple flips in the air and then hopefully land on their feet. And yeah, she ended up getting, it was at nighttime, and she got disoriented and ended up falling and on her head and got a concussion and was in the hospital. This is beforehand at the Olympic trials, but then got selected for the team anyway because of her performances in all the races, the World Cup series leading up to that. She accumulated enough points, so she, while in the hospital, got the notice from the Olympic committee that, hey, you've been selected for, you're on the Olympic team. But of course, she's just recovering from this head injury. But I worked with her, and we were able to regain her confidence, and so she was able to, you know, and she had all this planning to deal with. Is she going to be able to go to the Olympics? And it turned out that she was able to recover, but she could have ended up just focusing on that fall and the injury and replaying that over and over in her mind. But instead, we talked about how to focus on, you know, your best jumps and your best performances, and let's focus on that and replay that movie in your mind of a positive good movie that you can do really well. So we did that, and yeah, she was able to recover and perform, and I think that sports psychology work we did was really crucial for her regaining her confidence and realizing that she can make that she can what a great opportunity that she can still be able to do what she does best, and just use that see that fall. And that is just a little blip in the road. It wasn't a major thing. Luckily, she was able to recover from that. I just give you that as an example of how to work with someone. And there's all kinds of situations like that that come up. So the nice thing is you can be flexible and just deal with whatever is happening with them at the time. And you can be the go-to person. It's best if you can start, you know, say 4 to 6 months early before the Olympics. And so, for instance, right now it's 4 to 6 months before the Winter Olympics. So you could be putting a note out there that you are willing to work with Olympic hopefuls for the upcoming Winter Olympics, for instance. And you don't necessarily need to be familiar with the sport either. You know, most of us know about skiing, but you can. There's all kinds of sports, of course, ice skating, and the Winter Olympics has so many different sports to offer. There, you can easily learn about them through the internet, through YouTube, and just through talking with the athlete. And so, by about 3 months before the Olympics, I think most athletes have a support team in place, and they don't necessarily want to work with anyone new right at the last minute. But if something comes up that, you know, they have an emergency, then they are willing to work with someone, usually to help them with their mental health. And how to get started with them as athletes, I'd say to interview, you know, just talk with them, offer to work with them on a complimentary basis if you can. And I have a sample letter that I send out. I'll send that to you in my next email to you that, you know, to where you could offer your services and you could edit it with your own information in there and expand on it. So I'll send that to you. And it's but realize that they're really busy people, and it might be a few weeks, it might be a month before you hear back from them. So it's good to be patient, or you know, follow up maybe a week later. Don't be a pest, but you know, but you follow up with them, and then hopefully you may well hear back from them. And it's good to do your athlete research first. I think look up their name online, of course, and find out what are their recent events, what's their upcoming goals, and look at their posts. Everybody's got social media profiles now, so you can look up what they're saying on social media. I know we had one, for example, a performing edge coach from our group. A year ago or so, she was into the martial arts, and that was her sport, and she would look up different top athletes doing martial arts and notice one of them said, "I'm having some trouble with focusing or having trouble with emotional stuff," and so she was able to direct message that athlete, that top athlete, to her social media site there, you know, something that is now available we didn't used to have. And she said, well, visualization can really help with that. I could be of help to you. You know, something simple like that, just offering maybe to do a visualization audio. And so the athlete did respond back to her, this top athlete, who was going to the nationals then. And so she was able to work with her just by a simple reading the profile of a top athlete and then responding with a direct message. So that's good news that you can contact people that way, and you can find out more. Oftentimes they reveal a lot on their social media sites about how they are feeling and what they're needing. So you can then respond with a direct message that way and offer to help. So that's a good way to find athletes. And I'd say when you do talk with them, and, you know, it's good to show respect, of course, for what they've accomplished. But it's one mistake is don't put them on a pedestal of, you know, it's a tendency to think that they are godlike or, you know, are so way up there that it's hard to approach them. It's good to just, think of them as just another athlete, that you realize that you've worked with lots of athletes and they're another athlete with the same kind of human emotions. Maybe they have more pressures, but they're still human. And so, because they can detect that, I think if you are too, you know, putting them way up high, and because everyone is doing that with them, putting them way high, and they want someone that they can just talk to on a regular equal as a person, as a friend. So if you can be more just down to earth with them, I think they'll really appreciate that, just somebody that can just talk with them about human emotion and what's going on with them, and kind of put in the background the fact that they're maybe at the top level for the moment, so that you can relax about it and be able to talk with them in a very personal way, and realize that you are the professional, you are the sports psychology coach, you know a lot more about the human dealing with these pressures. You might know some things more than they do and can really help them. And then I wanted to mention that, you know, pacing is different with high-level athletes. They might only have 15 minutes with you, you know, or 10 minutes before they have to get to their next interview or appointment. So get to the point with them, what you can offer them, and not spend too much time you want to do some rapport building, but to get to the point of what you can offer them. Realize that there might be, you know, time gaps. There's, you know, they travel a lot, usually with top athletes. They might not have any regular schedule. They might be in a different country, and it might be several hours difference, so you have to figure out the time difference for doing, say, a Zoom call. There's all of that to deal with as well. And then just realize the Olympic pressures that they have, and maybe talk about that. With this Olympics, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic, they've got flying there, they've got all the masking, lots more testing to do, COVID-19 testing, and some worry about some athletes might be vaccinated, some might, some other countries might not be. They might not have that availability. And so there's that to deal with. They might have jet lag. There might be, media issues that they're, the media might have highlighted something negative about them that they're worried about. That can be something you can help with. There's sponsors, there's coaches, there's teammates, there's parents. All those things are pressures that Olympians are dealing with. So I think what's important to do is that is to realize that you understand what their pressures are. And some top mistakes to avoid with athletes are that you want to make sure that you're that you are consistent, that you do what you say you're going to do, if you're going to have an appointment at a certain time, to be at that appointment on time, but be flexible. Realize that they might forget the appointment or they might have something else going on. They might be out of the country. There might be a time difference, and be able to reschedule with them. That's okay. You be the consistent one and realize that they might not be as consistent. And just to work on the present situation, I think with them is good to not necessarily go into a lot of their past, their background at that time. They might need help with that later, but right now they probably need help with the current situation there of what's going on and how to deal with so many new things with this with the pandemic at this time, or at the next Olympics it might be something different. But you can work on what's going on with them in the present right now. And one key thing is to mistake to avoid. Don't break that confidentiality. A lot of people wonder if you say you're working with Olympia, and they say, "Oh, who are you working with? You know, what are their names? What sport are they in?" And it's best to be general about that and really protect their client privacy. Afterward, you can ask for a testimonial. But don't ever say, I'll work with you in exchange for a testimonial, because that's very highly unethical. It gives them too much pressure, and hopefully your work will be effective, but your work might not be effective, so it's not, you don't want to put that pressure there to say, I will work with you in exchange for something. Just offer to work with them, and then only afterward, when it seems like a good time, after you have a good sense, a good working relationship with them, then you could ask them for a quotation. But I always ask their permission first. So those are some ethical things I wanted to work with. And with testimonials, I think text is good, audio is better, video is the best if you can get a short video with them. And I can talk more about the testimonial part maybe next time when we get together too. But I just wanted to check in with you and see what was most helpful for you and any or questions you might have. Anyone? Dave, if you're there, or Anna L., anyone else who's joined us? Dave, are you still there? I might be on mute. Okay. I just wanted to check in and see if anyone has comments about what is helpful for you and questions that you might have. Okay, so next time we'll meet on, actually next Thursday, I think we meet the second or fourth Thursday of the month. Next Thursday happens to be a fifth Thursday of the month. If I have time, we can do another session on the next Thursday. I'll let you know if I can do that. And then, because it'll be in the middle of the Olympics, and then the next one after that would be August the 12th. So you can mark that on your calendars, August 12th at 9 a.m. for our next regular session there. And then I can let you know if we can do next week as well to just report on what's going on with the Olympics. And I can just talk more about testimonials and other things, how to work with top-level athletes. So one last time, if anyone has questions, you can check in now with me and let me know. And I just want to thank you all for coming today. And if you have questions for our next session, you can just email them to me. I'm happy to answer them. So I'll talk to you then. I'll have this replay up shortly, and I'll send it out to you by email and send you those other resources I mentioned. So thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for joining. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye now.